God bless these our gathering this morning. We're thankful for these songs that we've heard. And this morning, as you open to the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, let me say what an honor it is to just be in the house of the Lord, to be amongst our brothers and sisters, and to be able to know that there are angels that's watching over each and every one of us, and that somebody has prayed and somebody is praying for us today. And not only are they praying for us, but as they pray for us, there's people that God has placed upon our hearts that we're praying for. Some today it's so much easier sometimes to pray for those that you're not related to and acquainted with. And we ask that when God lays the people upon your heart, that you just follow the Lord and pray for them. You may not know what they're going through. You may look at their life and say everything looks good, but God knows exactly what's going on. And when He places upon our hearts, that's when we should whisper their name to the Lord. So in the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, is where we'll be reading from this morning. Preached from the scriptures in years past, but I want to fall down a few verses. Is where the Lord has directed our hearts. But in the seventh verse, He talks and reads like this to us this morning. He says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Are you blessed this morning? Amen. And, you know, the word blessed means happy. Are you happy because you know that you trust in the Lord? You know, people say, "Well, you don't know my circumstances, what I'm going through." Really, and I try to not be too harsh about this, it ought not matter about the circumstances. We ought to be happy because we trust in the Lord. And Jeremiah went on to say, "For he shall be as a tree that's planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, and her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the sanctuary is the place of our sanctuary." And to this morning, I'll stop reading there, verse 12, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. Taking our thoughts today from verse 10, when he says, "I, the Lord, search the heart." And this thought has been upon my heart to try to bring to you. And as God searches our hearts, God knows the very details of everything that's going on in your life. He knows those things that are good. He knows those things that have got you troubled. He knows those things that you try to hide from everybody else and make try to put on the personification that everything is all right between you and life. He knows those things that we don't even tell to our close friend, even to our companion. God knows everything because He's the one that searches the hearts. And I'd like to preach to you this morning about searching the heart for a few minutes of time. The Bible says that in the first part, He said that the heart is deceitful above all things. That sometimes we try to hide things and deceive even ourselves. Has anybody else, knowing that it's the truth, but you try to tell yourself that it's not? When you hear bad things happening or you hear of things that's going on, you try to say, "Oh Lord, this can't be." And you try to push it aside. And sometimes we think that if we hide it, that we don't have to worry about anything ever happening. But God searches, as Jeremiah said, God searches down in those dark places of our heart, our soul, and knows everything that's going on in our life. And Jeremiah, as he was speaking here and giving us this word, he said it's even the Lord that tries the reins. That sometimes we think that we've got everything covered up, That we've got everyone thinking that it's okay and that there's nothing that's truly wrong. How many of us this morning, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of us this morning that even come to church Sunday in and Sunday out, and our hearts are at the breaking point because there's so much that is going on in our lives and so much that the world and the devil has brought against us, and we see all the effects of what the world is going on and how people are going away from the Lord. And we try to come in, and how many of us this morning, you can amen this, but how many of us come in and we try to put on our best smile while all the while down on the inside our hearts are breaking because we've got so much that's just going on. People say, well, everything's good in my life. The thing that I really want to focus on this morning in the message is not what's wrong in our lives. It's what is wrong in those people's lives. Some of you this morning that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is really what's got so many of us in such turmoil. Because if we were to leave this morning, church, as Brother Les closed his eyes last night and slipped into eternity, that we think every one of us is just a breath away of making that same crossing. There's not a one of us today that has the promise of tomorrow. But I do know this, when God searches my heart, there's a lot of things that's in there. But one thing that He will not find, or that He will find, I should say, as He searches my heart, is how many of you know this morning that the blood has been applied to your heart and life? There's a lot of things I have to worry about. But one thing I don't have to worry about is will He see the blood when He passes by? You remember in Egypt when the Passover happened, every house that had the blood upon the two side posts and lintel, on the outside, there was turmoil, there was trouble, and there was death all around. But if you was in the house where the blood was at, that death passed over. This morning, you and I, because of Jesus Christ, even though on the outside, there's all kinds of turmoil and things going on. Jeremiah said that if we trust in the Lord, that even in times of drought, we shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. That we shall have green leaves and that we shall bring forth fruit because of where we're planted at. This morning, I'm glad I know where I'm planted at. I'm planted by the tree, by the river of life. And because of that, I am able to have fruit. I am able to have green leaves. And they're not withering away. Because God searches out the hearts. And as He searches out the hearts, this morning we want to preach for a few minutes to these that are lost. Or to those that may be even listening today. That would be able to know that they are saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. Instead of living in that fear. If death were to come to your house, that as Jeremiah said, when God searches the hearts, there is nothing that can be hidden, but everything is shown out in front. You remember Job's friend told him, he says, when the Lord comes searching, He's going to find out what's wrong in your life. If I can paraphrase it today, He's going to find out and He's going to know those dark things, those sins that you have, those things that you're trying to hide. And folks, every one of us have got things that we need to get rid of out of our lives, do we not? Some of us this morning just need to say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. And that I might be able to worship You, that I will not be trying to hide. Because I remember when conviction comes, we try our best to sit down low. We try to be preoccupied. We try to think about what's happening this afternoon or tomorrow. As God is searching our hearts, we're trying to make it, to put on the picture that we're not as bad as the preacher tried to make us sound. But folks, the Bible says that every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when the Spirit searches, and in fact, the Bible teaches us that all three parts of the Godhead searches out our hearts. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They search out our hearts and they know. Even when we try to put on the picture and everything's okay, even we know that it's not as good as we're trying to put on like. We try to make it look better than what it is. But God, when He searches our hearts, He searches yours, moms and dads, and young men and women. God knows those things that you can't even speak about. As we read a scripture this morning and thought about this this past week, that when God searches the hearts, it's almost like when we pray and we can't even say a word because our spirit is joined up with God's spirit, and we're able to pray not out of the words of our mouth but out of our heart, because our heart has been searched. And folks, when God searches our hearts and we really pray out of the depths of what God is moving in our lives, that's when we'll see things happen, because that's when we'll truly pray. You know, it's not by the multitude of words that God hears our prayers. It's not by the repetitions that God hears our heart, our words. But what God hears is when He searches our heart and we speak from the depths of our heart to Him. God knows all about this. He says here that it's the Lord that searches our hearts. And David said, in his passage of Scripture in the book of Psalms, in the 139th chapter, David said, "O Lord, it's You that has searched me. You know all about me." If I can preach it like this today, there is nothing about us in our life that God does not know about. Nothing. People say, "Well, it's not what I..." In fact, let me just preach it like this. It's not what you have done. It's what you have not done that God is searching your heart for. People say, "Well, what about all those sins I've done? What about all those days of unbelief? What about all those little things that I've done in my life?" God is not worried about those. God sent Jesus to forgive me of sin. And you say, "Well, Roger, you didn't put an S on that." The Bible says that Jesus came to save His people from their sin. In the eyes of God, there is no such thing as sins. Help me preach this morning. We classify them as sins. But God says it's all sin. He knows what you have done. He knows where you're at today. But it's not what you have done that God is searching for. He's searching for what you have not done. And that you have not believed upon the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. You've asked Him to save your dying soul and to give you life eternal. Folks, as I have sat with many families, and not just last night, but over the years with many families I have sat with, and as their loved ones are going into eternity, there is nothing most of the time that the loved ones can hear from their friend or their family member that's going into eternity. But what they have said to them through the weeks and the months that preceded that, Sister Ruby, is what's important. God searched our hearts. We was found like Daniel says in his word this morning about that. And as I turn to the book of Daniel real quickly today, you'll remember that there was a time when the king had a great feast, and he called for the utensils for all those that were taken out of the house of God, and they brought them into the king's court, and they was having a big feast, and they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. And you remember that Belshazzar saw in the same hour the finger that was writing on the wall. And you remember he called for all the soothsayers and all those that were knowledgeable in the land to come and to tell him the interpretation, because the Bible says in the sixth verse that his countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him. His heart was in trouble, if I can put it like that, and his knees smote once against another. He called for the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers to come and tell him what all this meant. His heart was in trouble. But all of the men of knowledge of the world could not tell him what the handwriting on the wall meant. When his heart was searched and he was found in trouble, the world could not tell him what it meant. Folks, let me preach to you this morning that the world does not have the answer for what is ailing our hearts. You know where the answer's at? It's on an old-fashioned altar of prayer. When we call upon the Lord, He'll hear and answer our prayers. But the Bible says that there was a man that knew God in the midst. And Belshazzar had heard about Daniel. And he called for Daniel and he said, I've heard about these gods that you're able to commune with, that you have insight, if I could put it like that. And he said, if you will give me what this means, if you'll tell me what it is that all this means to me, that I will give to you the same thing I told the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. That I will give you a clothing of scarlet and have a chain of gold around your neck, and you'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. Daniel wasn't worried about what he had to offer. He was trying to tell him what troubled his heart. What got him in trouble. And Daniel told him that this is what the handwriting means. It means many, many tekel euphrosim, which by interpretation, if I could just paraphrase it, condense it up, is that what you have done is wrong in the eyes of God. You knew better than to serve the gods of this world, and your kingdom, your days has been numbered, your kingdom is going to be divided, and you're about to leave this world. And the Bible says that in that very same night, of the great feast that Belshazzar left this world and went into eternity. Folks, you and I, as God searches out our hearts, even though sometimes we think we've got it hid from everybody else, there is nothing that is hid from God. You say, well, I'm all right. I haven't really done that much wrong. And again, I've belabored this point because God has laid it upon my heart. That it's not what you have done, it's what you have not done. How many of you know that you did not deserve to be saved? Amen. That every one of us had sinned and come short of the glory of God, have we not? But how many of us today know it's because of what we did do that got our sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, got our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that when we leave this world, we've taken our last breath, that I can leave behind the testimony that to my friends and my family, to my church, is this, that it's not the end. You don't have to worry about me being in hell and destruction. But folks, I'll meet you on the other side of the river in the place that the Lord prepared for His people. That's the greatest news that I can tell you about today. He said that God searches our hearts. David, in that same passage of Scripture, in the 139th, or same book of Psalms, 139th chapter, down about verse 23. David cried unto the Lord, and he said this. He said, search my heart, O God. Search it and know that I am yours, if I can put it like that. Folks, there's a lot of things that when God's Spirit begins to search our hearts, that even we as God's people, we may have hidden back. But there's one thing that I don't have to worry about. I don't have to worry about Him going and searching and not finding the blood. And that ought to make us want to rejoice, because every one of us that's got the blood applied to our hearts, folks, there's a lot of other things that time in this world has caused to come into our life. But there is nothing like knowing that your sins is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. David said, search me, O Lord. In fact, in the book of Lamentations, in the third chapter, he tells us there that we ought to search ourselves. But when we search ourselves, how many of us says, that really ain't that bad? Or in comparison to what this one is doing or that one's doing, it really ain't that bad. Anybody else try to justify what you have done based upon what you've seen others do? I've talked to so many people. And you know what we do is we try to base what we do compared to what everybody else is doing. Folks, we can't do what everybody else is doing and be able to justify ourselves by their actions, because we are not accountable for what everybody else does, but we are accountable for what we do with the Word of God. David said, I search. Search me, O Lord. I've searched. In the first part, he said, search me, O Lord. In the latter part of that same chapter, he says, I have searched. But let me put it like this, and then I'll move on. How many of us, when our loved ones, we know that what they're doing is wrong. What they're doing is that they need to get right with the Lord. But we try to justify it and say it's really not that bad because it's my child. It's my loved one. I've seen so many parents when we talk to them about their children, and their children are way out yonder in left field. Because you see, the parents search the perimeter. They don't get down on the inside of the heart. And they say, you know, they're good kids. But folks, being good kids, being a good mom, being a good kid, dad, isn't good enough. Because we're not going to stand before God, and God's going to say, what did everybody else say about you? God's going to say, open the books. Let's see what the book says about you. And you know what the book says? All that have sinned and come short of the glory of God cannot have a part in the kingdom of the Lord. You must be born again. And then John, in the 5th chapter, in the 39th verse, John said it like this, that every one of us ought to search the Scriptures, for in them we think that we have eternal life. If you only think that you have eternal life, if you're not for sure, I would find an altar somewhere and say, Lord, search out my heart. Job's friend said, there's something wrong in your heart. You know what Job said? Oh God, you know my heart. No matter what my friends say, God, you know my heart. And you know it's not true. But Lord, if there be anything in my heart that's unlike you, if I can close this morning with this thought, every one of us ought to have the prayer. If there's anything at all in my heart, oh Lord, that's unlike you and unlike your word, would you purge it? Would you take it out so that I might be able to be found more like you, and that my heart would be pure, my heart would be clear, and it would be clean. Today, as I close, every one of us needs to ask the Lord, search my heart. Christian, you need to ask the Lord. Because, you see, we can't make it to the next level until we get rid of some of those things that we've hidden away in our hearts. And lost man, woman, boy, or girl, you will never be able to convince yourself 100% that everything is all right between you and God until you get a good old-fashioned dose of salvation. And I said I was going to close, but let me put this in. The devil will come against me. And Brother Jim, he'll tell me a lot of things about what's wrong with my heart. And there's a lot of it that he's right about. Because you see, he knows what you've done as well as you do. And I wish that rascal would leave my past behind. And sometimes I have to remind him, I did do that in the past, but have you not heard? The Lord forgave me. And folks, in a Sunday morning church in a bad or service on a Baptist church, every one of us ought to be able to rejoice that God has searched our hearts and forgiven us of our sins that we've done in the past. When we ask Him for forgiveness. To those of you that are still lost, you say, well, I wish I had that same kind of comfort. You can have it if you would just ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins as He is searching your heart. As you have searched your heart, and you know that you need to move up. You know that you need to be saved. While Rob and Sharon gets us a song of invitation, I'm going to ask you, Mom and Dad, as David said, I've searched out my heart. Lord, you search out my heart. You know, I search it and I try to overlook some things. But God, you know exactly what's in there. As Jeremiah said, it's the Lord that searches out our hearts. When everybody else says, he or she's a pretty good person. He or she's a pretty good kid. They've never caused me a whole lot of problems. But you see, when God searches out the hearts, He's looking to see, is the blood there? And if the blood is not there, He says, you can have no part in my kingdom. And just as I shared with some of you earlier about Brother Les, yesterday morning he was sitting there in the bed talking to his nephews and nieces, talking to them, and just as cognizant and alert as you and I are this morning. But as the day progressed, do you see how quickly we can be here 1 minute and gone the next? You say, well, what does his departure have to do with a Sunday morning message like this? Because you see, folks, he had had conversations with me in the past and even testified here in this church that if the Lord calls, he was ready to go. Can you make that same statement? Moms and dads that are children and grandchildren, what if God was to call and they had to leave? I shared with the church on Wednesday night, I've got a niece that had surgery and she was scared to death. Now, I don't know if she's at the age of accountability. And you say, well, she's 17 years old. How can you say you don't know? Because it comes to different people in different age groups. Different times in our lives is what I meant to say. And for those of us that was raised in church, I believe it comes earlier for us because we know right for wrong. But for those that wasn't raised in church, sometimes it's delayed. And she was scared about having surgery. And folks, every one of us ought to be scared about surgery. Because you don't know when they put you under if you'll come back out. And I believe that she was scared because maybe she's at that point. You say, well, you're a pastor. Can't you save her? I have no power to save anybody. I don't even have the power to speak a word unless God lays it upon our hearts. Because you see, I am not the one that searches your heart. It's God that searches your heart. And today, while He has searched your heart in days past, and even this morning in this message, as the Lord searched your heart, and you know that you need to get right, I ask you, while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I ask you, would you take that step and come and ask the Lord to clean out that heart, to forgive you of your sins, and to give you that promise of life eternal in heaven above. This morning, you've searched your heart. There's not a one of us that hasn't looked within ourselves and evaluated our lives, looked at our disappointments, looked at our successes, looked at those things that we're proud of and tried to hide those things that we're not so proud of. And while we may have them tucked away and nobody sees what's there, God knows all about it. So I ask you today, while these are praying, there's others here this morning that need to take that step. You might hide it from mom and dad. You might hide it from the church. You might even hide it from your spouse. But you can't hide it from God. You can't hide it from God. Listen to this next verse. God has searched out your heart. Forgiveness is just one prayer away. Would you step out today? Would you receive the Lord? How about you, Christians?
So no matter your problem,
you need to come and pray this morning. Maybe you just need to come and thank the Lord for what He's already done. Because He has searched your heart. And He's brought to you that peace. that you need it so bad in your life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters. An endless supply. That's what that picture shows us. Folks, salvation is so simple, so easy to get. When God searches our hearts, if we would just open up and say, yes, Lord. The moment we say yes, God will save you. He'll save you today. All right, Rob, just one verse today. Been requested just as I am. Would you take that step this morning? Just take and follow your heart. I say that every service. But you know, that's the whole essence of man. It's not this structure that you see. It's our heart. And that's what God talks to. Come today. The church wants you to come. The Spirit wants you to come. Heaven is waiting just for you to step out and find that forgiveness. Yes. Oh, Lamb of God. Yes. God's dealt with your heart. Why don't you act upon it? Go to the last verse, Rob. This will be it. Step out this morning. We'll welcome. Cleanse and relieve. Yes, I know what that's about today. God searched our hearts. Just like Belshazzar, we was found wanting. We was in trouble. But God brought the forgiveness that we needed. Amen and amen. I hope you followed your heart today and that you've received a word from the Lord that you can take home with you to help you through this week. And I again ask that you remember Sister Teddy. And if we all, folks, I said this at the beginning of the service, I just don't know how much more the woman can take with everything that's happened just this year in their life. But you know what the Bible says? That even when we think we're at our breaking point, God is able to step in and give us the strength that we have need of. I don't know about you, but there's been so many days that I could testify about that it wasn't my strength that I made it through, but it's by His strength. And I'm sure that's where she's at this morning. And let's remember our service tonight, fellowship to follow. Remember Wednesday night. Remember next Saturday at 2 o'clock is Kylie's birthday party here at the church in the basement. So remember that. It's good to see her today and to hear her and to have Mike and Morgan. And I'll tell you what, is the little fella still back there? All right. He's still here, though. I think I just heard him. You guys stop by and see that little fella's boots he's got on. He's proud of them boots. They're camouflaged, and they got John Deere on them. I know he's a good kid. Anybody wears John Deere's got to be good. And so stop by and see him. And it's good to see them back with us. We're happy to see Kylie and Dawson, but we're also happy to see Mike and Morgan able to be with us. And for all of you that's able to be here this morning, we thank God for you as well. Come back and be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. Go praying and come praying, expecting great things to happen when we come back together.